Hi, everybody. Good afternoon slash early evening. Thank you for being here. My name is Jorge Soled. I'm coming here from the University of Michigan School of Public Health. And today I'll be talking about LGBT-specific sources of support and the mental health of young lesbian, gay, and bisexual women. And I have no relationships to disclose. So why focus on this population? At this point, we have consistent evidence showing that sexual minority populations experience greater rates of anxiety and depression compared to heterosexual populations. Furthermore, we see that among sexual minority women, we see greater rates of depression and anxiety compared to heterosexual women and also compared to heterosexual and non-heterosexual men. Studies also show that internalized homophobia is an important marker of mental distress among sexual minority populations, and that internalized homophobia, or IH, is also highly associated with depression and anxiety. Sexual minority stress theory helps us understand that this type of distress is not something that's endogenous to sexual minority populations, but rather is a result of the stigma and discrimination that sexual minority populations face. And so constantly facing this type of discrimination can lead to an internalization of negative social attitudes. And it's this internalization of social attitudes that we refer to as internalized homophobia, which is then highly associated with anxiety and depression. More recently, however, researchers have also been noting that we need to consider the ameliorative processes in examining the mental health of sexual minority populations. One way to begin to understand these processes is through social network and social support theory. So social network can be defined by its structural, interactional, and functional characteristics. Focusing on functional characteristics, this refers to the resources that are transmitted between network members. And something commonly looked at in terms of resources is support, especially affective support, and that support that comes in terms of love and care and moral support. And there's two mechanisms by which folks speak about how social support is related to mental health. One mechanism is through the stress buffering hypothesis, which states that support buffers the negative effects of a stressor on health. The other mechanism is through direct effects. So this states that social support is good for health, and it's good for maintaining health regardless of whether there are other stressors present or not. I'm also considering a developmental perspective in the current study, as I am focusing on young adult sexual minority women. And here I rely on the theories of Delgelli and Arnett. So Delgelli in 1994 published a paper describing a sexual minority identity development model in which she really emphasizes the need to focus on an individual in terms of social context. So really thinking about social networks, communities, neighborhoods, institutional organizations, and how these interact with the individual in terms of their identity development process. And this is really in contrast to traditional notions of identity development that really focus on a more linear and individual type of development. Arnett also begins to focus specifically on this emergent adulthood period, which he describes as between the ages of 18 and 29. And this period, he says, is important because he believes that there are developmental processes that are starting in the adolescent years that further carry on into this early adulthood period, and so that we shouldn't necessarily disqualify or not consider some of these developmental processes just because the person turns 18. And so really together these theories are saying that early adulthood is a time when individuals are still developing personal notions of autonomy and community. And for sexual minorities, they're also concurrently developing their sexual minority identity. And so the interaction between these things is important to consider for the specific population. So again, thinking about the importance of considering social context, here I also choose to look at LGBT community involvement. But community involvement has been measured in many different ways across many different studies. And because of that, the findings are mixed in terms of the association between involvement and health. More recently, Frost and Mayer proposed one way of looking at participation, community involvement, and that's parceling it into participation and connectedness. So they state that participation refers more to behavioral participation in community. So for example, attending events or going to specific LGBT spaces, whereas LGBTQ connectedness refers to a more cognitive or affective connection to a community. So that being said, the objective of the current study is to use structural equation modeling with a sample of young LGB women to test a minority stress model, to examine the relationship of four social network support constructs with mental distress, and to examine if internalized homophobia mediates the relationship between these four constructs and mental distress. The current data come from MSAS, or the Michigan Smoking and Sexuality Study, carried out at U of M, and the study objective of that study was to examine the psychosocial correlates associated with smoking behavior among sexual minority women. The measures I'm looking at include these latent factors. So the first four are those network constructs that I mentioned. So that's parent support, peer support, LGBTQ community participation, LGBTQ community connectedness, and there's internalized homophobia, depression, and anxiety. So structural equation modeling is useful because it allows us to test multiple relationships simultaneously between latent variables. What does that mean? So for example, if you take a look at the first line, parent support is a scale consisting of five questions or items. These items can be grouped into indicators that define this latent factor. So this technique is useful when you're kind of trying to measure things that haven't been measured consistently in the past or for which you don't have much evidence to go upon. And so it's useful for developing these items around participation and connectedness, because this technique allows us to use theory, conceptual frameworks, and statistical analyses to really group items that make sense in terms of what we're trying to define. So in terms of the analytic plan, we have descriptive statistics, bivariate correlations, and multivariate regression models and structural equation models. For the sake of time, I'm going to focus on points 1 and 4. 2 and 3 inform the structural equation models, and I can answer questions about those after the presentation. But the original study yielded 484 participants who completed an online survey. Eligibility criteria were the woman had to be between the ages of 18 and 24, identified as a sexual minority, have had a sexual experience with another woman in the past year. And of these 484 participants, we retained 180 who identified as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, and who were Michigan residents. Now we focus on Michigan residents because we do ask questions related to participation in local LGBT communities. So we thought conceptually it just made sense to restrict our population to a geographically defined area. And of these 180, we retained 164 who indicated that their parent was a primary or secondary caregiver, because we did want to include specifically parent support. So some basic demographics for this study sample. Just over half of the participants identified as bisexual. The mean age was 21. Again, the range was 18 to 24. About one-fifth identified as a racial or ethnic minority. In terms of education, about 60% had at least some college. And again, this reflects the age group. About 60% were current full-time or part-time students, and about 65% were employed either full-time or part-time. So this is a visual representation of the model that I'm testing. So moving from left to right, you have the four network constructs that I'm looking at. There's parent support, peer support, LGBT community participation, LGBT community connectedness. We have internalized homophobia, and also depression or anxiety. And so the arrows represents the relationships that we're testing. What I'm not showing here, however, is that there should be lines between the network constructs and anxiety and depression, but for sake of visual clarity, I haven't included those paths. Now, structural equation modeling provides fit indices that lets us know if this model, in fact, is relevant to the data, if it holds together given the data. So from now on, the models I present all do have appropriate fit indices. The controls I use are age, sexual identity with bisexuals as a referent group, and racial ethnic identity with whites as a referent group. We also test each model, both depression and anxiety model, with robust versus non-robust standard errors, meaning we use more strict criteria, robust errors, and less strict criteria, non-robust standard errors, to test these relationships. The reason we also want to use this more strict method is because of the small sample size, and we just want to make sure that we're seeing that these relationships aren't spurious. So results of the depression model are as follows. Again, I'm only including relationships that were significant. So we see that parent support and peer support are correlated, as well as participation and connectedness and support and connectedness. Interestingly, when we look at the four network constructs and IH, we only see a significant relationship between parent support and internal autismophobia, and it's negative, meaning that higher levels of parent support was associated with lower levels of IH. And as expected, we see a positive significant positive association between IH and depression. Looking at the control variables in the gray boxes, we see that with bisexuals as the referent group, having a lesbian or gay identity was associated with higher levels of community participation and higher levels of community connectedness. It was also associated with lower levels of internalized homophobia and lower levels of depression compared to bisexual women. Also, higher levels of age was associated with higher levels of IH. For the anxiety model, we see similar results with three exceptions, in that here sexual identity was not related to anxiety as it was with depression in the previous model. And we see that racial ethnic identity, with whites as a comparison group, being a racial ethnic minority was associated with lower levels of anxiety. Also not shown here is for this non-robust model, so the less strict model, we did see a positive significant association between community participation and IH, meaning that higher levels of participation were associated with higher levels of internalized homophobia, something we didn't expect. So again, the strengths here are that the current study is among the first to examine relationships between multiple network constructs and mental distress among young adult, lesbian, gay, and bisexual women. In terms of parent support and peer support, we see that one main finding is that parent support matters. So that relationship between parent support and IH was significant in all models. Surprisingly, though, we did not see a relationship between peer support and internalized homophobia. And so this suggests that receiving parental support may be a critical ameliorative process for coping with sexual minority stress. It also highlights the importance of including parents in future research for emerging adult, lesbian, gay, and bisexual women. In terms of community involvement, surprisingly, we did not see relationships between the community involvement variables and internalized homophobia. And again, there's many different types of activities happening during participation. Perhaps for this particular population, we need to rethink about how we're constructing these variables. Consistent with previous research, we do see that bisexual women may be experiencing greater discrimination leading to sexual minority stress. In terms of the relevance for public health, the significance of IH highlights the implications of minority stress for young LGBT women. And as previously mentioned, again, when we talk about LGBT community, we have to remember that this is a heterogeneous group. And here we see that there's higher levels of IH, for example, perhaps among bisexual women. And so when thinking about, let's say, safe spaces or LGBT-friendly spaces, maybe we need to think about also bisexual-friendly spaces. And this has important implications for intervention work and development of mental health services for sexual minority women. And again, these findings point to the potential to address sexual minority stress at the level of the family unit and including families in such intervention work. Again, limitations, convenient sample, cross-sectional design, limited sample size. Again, we saw this relationship with parents happening. This is not an intersectional approach. So we need to understand particular experiences of individuals with multiple salient social identities. So in the current model, we include constructs that are related to sexual minorities, but not necessarily that are related to the experiences of women or the experience of women, of people who are women and sexual minorities. Study participants were not asked to qualify community participation. So we know that we asked participants whether they attended an LGBT event, but we really don't know much about that space. We don't know the breakdown, the composition of people who attend that space by gender, by race or ethnicity, by age. So there's these other kind of contextual factors we're missing. Future directions, we should consider support from other families and peer types, perhaps LGBT, non-LGBT peer types, perhaps sexuality-specific, non-sexuality-specific support. Because parents have not really been included, or parent perspectives hasn't been included in this research, it's important to qualitative work, my survey is important process here. And we also should consider other measures of sexual identification, such as behavior, attraction, and identity, and the implications for LGBT community involvement. So I want to thank my advisor, Jose Bauermeister, and the rest of the team at the Center for Sexuality and Health Disparities for their support with this project. And you can take any questions. Yes. Yes.
Thank you for your presentation. I'm curious about your thinking behind the thoughts from the support to internalized homophobia. I can understand internalized homophobia, anxiety, and depression, but not first step. What's up your idea behind it?
You mean in terms of where internalized homophobia is placed?
Yeah, so why is that the mediator? Why isn't it the other way around that parental support mediates the relationship between internalized homophobia and health?
Right, so the way I'm thinking about it here is more of an ecological framework. So I think what's most proximal to, let's say, an individual's mental health status might be internalized homophobia. That's kind of the next step up. And then the next layer would be kind of these community-level processes. So I'm thinking about it in terms of that framework. I mean, the benefit of structural equation models is you can kind of test all of these relationships simultaneously, both indirect and direct. So, again, I think the analytic method allows us to create the model in such a way. Yes? It's tough. You're right, because we don't know if, for example, if folks are coming in with already with internalized homophobia and then they're seeking these spaces as a way to kind of deal with that IH, or they're entering these spaces first, and then because of the experiences happening in these spaces, they're developing IH. So, and this is a question it's tough to answer. We attempted to answer it because one of the items for participation asked about attending, I think, counseling groups or something at an LGBT organization. So for example, we excluded that because we figured that's related to this issue about whether IH is present from the beginning or not. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.